Father, I thank you for your presence this morning, that you would do something amazing in the hearts of your people. You draw us to a new place in you. Lord, this is the children of Israel at the foot of your mountain to hear some things. Lord, I pray you draw us to the foot of your mountain and we hear things and we'd apply things and we would be your church as you intended it to be, Father, in Jesus' name, amen. Some of you have noticed, I got good brothers here in the church. Hey, Pastor, you got your vest on inside out. I said, thank you for that, bro. I did it intentionally today. One is, it looks better than just plain gray, so it's jazzy. The second one is sometimes, and I love that people notice it because I was hoping you would, and I hope I had some good brothers tell me. I expected my wife, who I didn't get to see much of her, she'd probably right away be on it, you know. And it just reminds me of a couple things. So often in culture, if it's something's counterculture that's accepted norm, we can point it out right away, can't we? Right? This isn't a law. I could wear this inside out, and I'm not breaking any laws, Luna. Not one. I could wear it like this however I want, whenever I want. I'm breaking zero laws. But you all were like, look at that. Yeah, fashion police this morning. But then, would you be the same way if I like rolled through a stop sign? How about if I was taking someone's cable? Oh, it's going to be that kind of service this morning. Seriously, because, right, we got to start recognizing what God says is law and what we want is law. Right? And so, Pastor appreciates that you hit the bait this morning. I was fishing. And if anybody is Jen Brown here, because I should turn this back inside out correctly right away or she's going to lose it. No, Jen's not here. I can still wear it like this. She is here. Jen? Oh, you can't see me, Jen. I'm going to keep it inside out the whole service. All right, there you go. She's like, I'm going to punch you. The people of God, this is where we're at in the story, they finally arrived. And what a long, strange trip it's been. You know, it's been a long, strange trip for them. And they're coming out. And in this trip, they had to deal with Pharaoh and the Egyptians twice. Getting out, and then they had them backed up against the sea. Remember how old things, if we don't completely kill and annihilate the things in the past that caused us slavery, if we don't abolish those things and let God destroy them, they'll come back and get you. So they learned that, right? They learned that, right? Also, they learned the Red Sea lesson, which is God can do anything. Don't tell him you can't. They also learned the lack of food and water lesson. God's the provider. They learned the lesson of the Amalekites, which is sometimes you got to fight for things that are yours. They learn the lesson of not complaining. Well, they're learning the lesson of not complaining. They haven't quite learned the lesson yet. And we saw that God does stuff in stages, right? All of our lives, stages are stages. We learned that. And sometimes, good or bad, God doesn't need to do stuff in stages. He can do it in bam. Some guys do stuff in stages. Sometimes it's in bam. You know, ever been bammed? I've been bammed. I was the kind of guy that needed a bam, unfortunately. A few bams, you know. Concussion syndrome in the Holy Spirit. Just a little bam, so I needed, you know. But finally, it looks like they made it, right? Say, it looks like they made it. Say, looks like. Looks like. Or it looks like they made it. Yeah, looks like it. But did they make it? We'll see. Exodus 19, 1 through 3. Cassie, once again, thank you so much, sweetheart, for my water. I'll tell Kirsten she's in trouble. She didn't come back from Hawaii and do that for me. In the third month after the children of Israel had left the land of Egypt, the very same day they came into the wilderness of Sinai. Very same day. You know what? The word Sinai, they're going to get a lot of Hebrew meanings today that I think are interesting and possibly abstract in how I look at it when I read scripture, all right? The word Sinai, you know what it means? Thorny. Thorny. Makes sense, because some things God says at Sinai are going to poke you. Some things he says at Sinai are absolutely going to poke you, and some things are thorny enough to pierce you. It's a thorny time, and sometimes you need to be poked and pierced. Sometimes. Yeah, sometimes, right? It says, when they moved out from Rephraim. You remember what Rephraim meant? Rest. Rest when God provides it. I'll rest later. No. If God provided now, you rest now. Why? Because later is coming and you needed your rest. Rest when God provides it. Take advantage of it when he provides it. And you know what? It's amazing because he's about to make a command that says, I'm going to provide it once a week for you. I love this morning to hear the worship because, honestly, you're activating the first two commandments. The very first two commandments, you guys were activating them. I'll show you how you were doing it. It was beautiful to me. It says, when they came to the wilderness of Sinai and they camped there, Israel camped at the base of the mountain of Sinai, but Moses went up to God on the mountain. They camped at the base. Moses went up, okay? And the Lord called to him from the mountain, saying, say this to the house of Jacob and tell all the Israelites. There's a very important lesson that's about to be learned. Only say what God says and leave your opinions out. Only say what God says and leave your opinions out. Yeah, that's a hard lesson for the church. It is. Still learning, man. Still learning. But now they have arrived. They're arrived, right? So let's flash back. Let's flash back to why they arrived. Let's go into Big Mo's life. I want to talk about Big Mo because originally he left Egypt an outcast, right? He left Egypt. He's an outcast, killed a dude, probably had it coming to him. Didn't matter. Egyptian law said no. So he booked, right? And then he ended up in Midian and he found love. And he found a sweet shepherd gig. Like, man, I'm just roaming around with the sheep. Not in Egypt. Sweet gig. And Egypt was way out of his sight. He left Egypt way out of his sight. So we're going to pick up, flashback to that minute, okay? Exodus 3, 1 through 2. Now Moses was keeping the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, we learned about him last week, the priest of Midian. And he led his flock to the west side of the wilderness, and he came to Horeb, which is Sinai. Now Moses had no idea right here, that he's being trained to be a shepherd for more than sheep. There are things in our lives. There are things in our lives that are training you for more than you are. You can only see what you can see right now, but things God's doing right now is training you for more than you are now. That's his job. He's a shepherd. But Moses had no idea, like, I'm out. I'm done with Egypt. I left it. I can't ever think of a reason to go back. I got someone who loves me, and I get to hang out in the fields all day with the sheep. Man, it's a slamming gig, you know? Keeping the sheep. He came to Sinai, the mountain of God, and the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a blazing flame of fire, fire from the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush was on fire, yet was not consumed. Now, for two generations, I put pictures up. I got a picture of the burning bush. This could be the one you relate to. Yeah, this is Prince of Egypt. And it's pretty fancy if you watch. It doesn't look like much here, but it's fancy because the fire swirls around him and God talks to him. And it's, if you've never seen the Prince of Egypt, it's a quick little synopsis on Moses' life, and it's fantastic. Or if you grew up like me, this is the burning bush. Charlton Heston, that's about to become a snake later. You know, I'm just telling you. So I just thought I'd get the generations to get picture what the burning bush was like. So the flashback continues. Exodus 3, 6 through 10. Then he, God, said, I am the God. I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. And then Moses hid his face. That's a good example of proper perspective. That's a good example of proper perspective. Say this, I'll never get so familiar that I'll forget to show God respect. Because he was afraid to look at God. The Lord said, I have in fact seen the affliction of my people who are in Egypt, and I have heard their cry because of their taskmasters, their oppressors. I know their pain and suffering. So I've come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them from that land to a land that is good and spacious, a land flowing with milk and honey, a land of plenty. Say, sounds like a great deal. Now, that's a great deal. You're so great. Out of slavery, spacious, prosperous land. Milk and honey are flowing in this place. Right on. I'll take the deal. It's also the place of the Canaanite. You know what Canaanite means? Lowlanders, traffickers, and merchandise. I am the God, and you're going to have to deal with gods of merchandise. Amazon.com. Christmas time for Jesus and my credit card. I know, it's touchy today. It's a thorny place. Can't help it. So they're going to have to deal with the promised land's coming, but you got to watch out for the Canaanite in the promised land. You got to defeat that. You got to pass that test. Sounds like a familiar test. The Hittite. You ready for Hittite? Means terror or fear. Haven't we already passed that test? Come on. Anybody not afraid anymore ever of anything? Anybody? Bueller? Anyone? Of anything? That's awesome. He's going to teach a class someplace in the desert on how not to be afraid at all time. But 99.9% of us occasionally have a fear of something for at least a millisecond. Millisecond of fear. Right? And God said, when I tell you to do something, I need you to not be afraid to obey me. You're going to have to deal with fear again. How about the Amorite? It says the Amorite. You ready for what the Amorite is? An intentional, bold speaker. How's that work? In my brain, it works like this. Words that speak up contrary to God's word. So God's going to tell you something, and they say, no, he didn't say that. God didn't say that. It is. It's a misuse of the rainbow. The Amorite has words that are contrary to God's words, and they're going to scream it louder than you do when you get to that promised land. The Perizzite, ready for that one? Village without walls, a chief warrior. Seasons of big attacks sometimes feel like they have no boundaries and they come from everywhere. Anybody experience that? When it rains, it pours. What's up? There must have been something happening in the spirit this week. I felt like I was punching the mouth four or five times. Anybody have a tough week? Yeah, I see that hand, man. Right? Perizzites. The Hivites. What about the Hivites? A small village life. It means small village life dating back to Eve. Oh, I pondered on that before the Lord, and this is what I felt. Little attacks that have been on you since the beginning of time still exist. There have been little attacks in your life that still exist since the beginning of time. And this is the year, possibly, to kill the Hivites. Maybe. Right. Then there's the Jebusites. It means the threshing place or trodden down. Future name will be Jerusalem. God's peace. The place where you're squeezed and God wants to know what's going to come out of you. You know? It's great to see people graduate from medical school and surgery or the ER and they graduate. But the first time they got a bleed out on the table or some little kid's dying, let's see how you apply that. In that moment, was squeezed and you come will come out. And God says, when you have that moment and people's life are going to bleed out in front of you all the time, I need you to know when you're squeezed, the peace of God comes out of you. It's going to be Jerusalem, but that's not what it is now. It's a threshing place. Man, all that, right? He says, now behold, the cry of the children of Israel has come to me. He's the king's kids, right? His kids are in Egypt. And why are they there? Anybody know? Because a long time ago, I'll just summarize real quick. A long time ago, during Jacob's time, there was a famine, right? So he took his family there and he hung out. And all of a sudden, down his lineage, Joseph is there. Joseph, king of dreams, you know, Joseph of the multicolored coat, Joseph. Well, under Joseph being in Egypt, they began to thrive and prosper and so fruitful. And they got cozy and comfortable in the culture of Egypt. That never happens to us, but it happened to them. right? In Exodus 6 through 7, it says they were fruitful. It's not on there. Don't worry about it. And I have also seen how the Egyptians oppressed them, almost 300 plus years. Therefore, come now, and I will send you to Pharaoh. If you're Moses, be Moses for a second. Can you be Moses for a second? All right, killed a dude, smoked him. I had to run for my life across the desert by myself. And then God hooks me up with this beautiful lady, and I got a sweet job. And I, God, go to Egypt? I hate Egypt. I don't want to go to Egypt. Egypt's the last place I want to go if I'm Moses. Like, no, 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 no. We're near the Mediterranean. Send me to Italy. They eat better. Egypt. God says, go, Mo. And then not only go back, but then bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. Mo obeyed and did as God asks, and now this is where we are. They're finally camped at the mountain of God. We're out of Egypt. Check. We encounter the power and provision of God. Check. We journeyed to this very spot. Check. Now, if I'm the children of Egypt, I'm like, is this just going to be a pit stop? You set up with the land of promise. This is like the thorny mountain of God. You said something about better, you know? So why are we here? Let's flash forward. Exodus 19, 4 through 6. You have seen what I did to the Egyptians, how I carried you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Now, therefore, if you will in fact obey my voice, and keep my covenant agreement, then you shall be my own special possession, a treasure among all the peoples of the world. For all the earth is mine, and you shall be special to me. You shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation, set apart for what? My purpose. Set apart for my purpose. What are God's children set apart for when they get us out of Egypt? What is our purpose? His purpose. Set apart for my purpose. No, man, I got out of Egypt. I'm thinking about setting up a chop shop. No, did God tell you set up a chop shop? No, find his purpose, right? These are the words that you shall speak to the Israelites, Exodus 19, 7 through 8. So Moses called for the elders of the people and told them. Sometimes you break things down. And everybody run a team before you got, like, people underneath you in a team. You're running a team. You're running a crew, right? And you just got to get, like, 50 people the information. You call like the shift leads. Hey, you three, come here. Ringo, Bingo, and Jingo, come over here. Yeah, you tell your team leads tonight, we're closing at 8, the store closes at 8, and we're mopping up everyone, every shift. Yeah, I'm not telling all the people that. You're telling the people that, right? I'm going to go clock out. This is Moses. This is paraphrased Moses, right? He told all the leaders. He told them all these words, which the Lord commanded him. Say this, the Lord can command his people. The Lord can make commands to the church. I am the church. Can the Lord command me? What if it's not what you want to do? It's tough. All the people answered together. I love it, man. They were the church. They were the worship team. They said, yeah, united under his banner. All the people answered together and said, we will do everything. God, you took us out. You saved me. I was garbage. I was rotten away. I was a stinking mess. You pulled me out of the sin of my life. Whatever your sin was, he pulled you out of. You're Egypt. And what you're saying to me is you're going to give me this and give me that. I'm lucky to be alive, and you want to give me a sweet deal and just obey you? It worked out so far. I'm in. That was kind of my salvation experience in a nutshell. The people answered together and said, we'll do everything the Lord has spoken. Say, we will do everything the Lord has spoken. I saw some mumbling. I just won't point you out. And Moses reported the words of the people to the Lord, like the Lord needed him to, but Moses has learned to be a liaison. Moses doesn't want the job. God's training him to do the job. You took care of the sheep. You can take care of these guys. No, I can't. All they do is complain all the time. This is not like people. Oh, it's like people? Okay, got it. Sheep will run into like puddles of water that are deeper than them and drown. That's not like people. That's like people. Okay, so I would like you to read verses 10 through 25 for a later time, because I want to skip through some things, but I want to give you a paraphrase of what you're missing. You ready for a paraphrase? What you're missing. Okay, what you're missing is this. Only Moses and Aaron are allowed to go touch the mountain. It's one of the things God says. He says, and violators who just think that God's common and his rules don't matter, straight to death. Like, that's pretty harsh. God's like, no, I need you to respect me. And I'm bringing Moses and Aaron up, but no one else touched that mountain. God's presence, he spoke through dark clouds and trumpets and stirring up the mountain. I got a picture because this is what you missed. This is the verses you missed right there. It kind of looks like that. That's what you missed. Go back and read it. But so now he can tap or scroll or turn to Exodus 20, because we're about to get the big 10 headlines. I'm not covering all 10 today. This could be another early service. You're going to love me. The children teachers, not so much. But we're going to go to Exodus 20 and get the big 10 headliner commands. And some commands that God gives us are to help us remember how to act. First, it's been a while since I've done the red letters about Jesus' words, and it's been heavy. We've been in the Old Testament for a while. So I really want some Jesus before we head in. You mind if I just give a little Jesus and then we jump back into Moses? All right. Mark 12, 28 through 31. Then one of the scribes, an expert in the Mosaic law, an expert who knows all the laws given to Moses, if that's what it means. All of them. And there's more than just the Big Ten. Go through Leviticus sometime. I'm serious. Go through Leviticus sometime and read about all the different things. Some are relevant to this very day, and some Jesus paid the price for. You don't have to sacrifice a lamb for your sins anymore. Jesus was the lamb. But there's stuff in there that if you want to know, God will tell you. Come up and listen to them arguing with one another and noticing that Jesus answered them well. He asked him, which commandment is first and most important of all? Jesus, what's the most important commandment? And Jesus answered, the first and most important one is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. There is one God. He said that, and you shall love, he follows right up with it. Commandment 2, actually. We'll get to it. But you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. Say, he gets your focus, right? And this is the second. He bomb, hits him another one. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. There are no other commandments greater than these two. And those are hard enough to follow, right? God has lots of ways of doing stuff. He has a top 10 command zone. You ready for the top 10? We're only going to get 3 or 4. You ready? Say commands. So he brought them out, and before the promised land, he teaches them how they're supposed to act in the promised land. Exodus 20, 1 through 3. Then God spoke all these words. I am the Lord your God who has brought you out of the land of Egypt and out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall have no other gods before me. God alone must be the central focus of your life. Pleasing him is their tippity-top priority. Tippity-top. What's your number one purpose in life? I'm going to serve the Lord my God and have no other gods before me. God alone stands in first place in our lives. God alone is first place in his people's lives. Say it's a command. It's a command, right? Can anyone think of, though, any other gods that may have crept in on him, on our priority list, and has taken over God's place? Can you think of any? Is it impossible to think that there might be some? Where you haven't asked him, you just made a choice. When you probably should have asked him. Now, I guarantee if you call yourself a disciple of Jesus Christ and God is your Father and you're trying to be the, I guarantee you should ask him. Why? Because he said, I'm the tippity top. I'm the focus, right? Listen, it happens ever since Lucifer. There's been a competition for who's first place. And all is a big race for who's first place. God said, I'm going to be first place. Is there anything competing in your life for God's place? What does it look like when something actually is the top priority in our lives? Or how does it change? I don't know. Look at your neighbor and say, I don't know. But I'll think about it. Yeah. Exodus 20, 4 through 6. You shall not make for yourself any idol or any likeness, what is in heaven above or in the earth beneath or the water underneath the earth, as an object of worship. He covered all the areas. In any stratosphere, don't make any of those. You shall not worship them nor serve them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous, impassioned God, demanding what is rightfully and uniquely mine. I'm the God who saved you, and we made a covenant deal. So don't make images of worship any other stuff that I alone should get your affection. I deserve that affection. Why are they getting that affection? Now, I'm going to break this down in a dramatic performance. Is Jesse here? Jesse. I think you can take me picking on you. I was going to use Jody and Randy, but I won't because I always pick on them. She's like, thank you, Pastor. But picture Jesse in a relationship, right? He's got this girl, right? And this girl, Jesse's this one, he's on his knees, man. He's giving her flowers. He's looking at her, he's like, you're the one. You're it for me. And she said, I love you too, baby. Uh-huh. I love you. You're so great. Is that Chick-fil-A? Man, I just love. Yeah. What did you say? Oh, I got beautiful eyes. Yeah, thank you so much. Hey, how you doing? How you doing? You looking good over there in that shirt. Man. Oh, you look good in your shirt too, Jess. That sounds crazy. Well, Jess, you want to stay with that girl? Why? Because you're not the object of her affection. But God's still in relationship with us. And how often he's not the object of our affection. We're making images that we spend more time with. Yvonne says, get back on stage, Pastor. Don't come over here. Yes, ma'am. Say, God wants our love focus. He says, I'm a jealous and passionate God, demanding what is rightfully and uniquely mine, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children to the third and fourth generations of those who hate me. Ever seen that? Ever seen generational families and generational messes? It's sad truth. Maybe it was your life experience. It was for mine for a while. Stuck in the dysfunction of the generation of my father's father. But he wants some good news. Jesus is a curse reverser. He's a curse breaker. Jesus reverses those things. That's what he does. One of the benefits of the Jesus package. You don't got to live that way no more. Right? It's good news. But God shows graciousness and steadfast loving kindness to thousands of generations of those who love me and keep my commandments. Those who love me and keep my commandments. Those who love me and those who prove that they love me. We don't want to prove stuff very often, do we?
Come on.
We don't prove stuff very often. Just trust me, man. No. Why? You said four times you're showing up at lunch, Kenny, without calling me. I'm sitting there at McDonald's. Waiting, starving. So the next time I make a plan with you, I'm going to doubt possibly you show up. That's not fair, Pastor. Don't judge me. I'm just going by experience, man. Just going by experience. Why? Because if you love me, you'll show me you love me. You'll give me that focus and adoration. Then you're going to do the things that I say, show me love. Right? That's just the way God works. Loving God is worshiping him. It's also doing the things that are both important, right? So this is what we learned so far in the commandments, the two things we learned. God says, I'm the top priority of everything, and nothing else gets my love and adoration that I should get. I'm the top priority, and nothing gets the love from your lives that I should get. Right? Say, I'm the church, and I agree. Yeah. Now, this next one could be gritty. Jody, you might have to help me. I might need an usher. So no hand raising, no finger pointing, and no elbowing. Mm-hmm. Sabrina. Okay. Say, okay, Pastor. Exodus 20, verse 7. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. That is, irreverently. Stop. God is not the brunt of jokes, and he's not a cuss word. He's not the brunt of jokes, and he's not a cuss word. In vain, in false affirmations. This is one that's even worse. You ready? Stop using God, not us, just them. Stop using God said to manipulate people. Stop using God said to manipulate somebody. Well, God said this. Stop using God to manipulate anybody. Even if God said it, if he didn't tell you to say it, then you're using him to manipulate them. That's in vain. Well, God told me we're supposed to be married. If God didn't say that, you're setting yourself up for a spiritual, emotional, impossible, physical decapitation. He does not take in vain very well. It's in the top three. Wow, it's in the top three. Stop using my name to manipulate people. Stop. Stop making me the brunt of jokes, and when you're angry, your cuss words. Stop saying God is okay with stuff that he's clearly not. In vain. Stop saying God's cool with that. Why? Because culture's cool with it? Yeah, I can wear my vest however I want to. Well, then we're not talking about your vest, bro. Talking about your life and your fruit. Some things don't matter, some things do. If God says it's not cool, then it's not cool. It doesn't matter how I think about it. I have no opinion. I don't have a choice. I don't even have to like it. My grandmother had this great saying, and I don't see in any refrigerators, like it or lump it. I'm not sure exactly what that means, but I'd rather the like it. You know, I'd rather like it than lump it. I don't know. I like it's like an ice cream sample. I like it, so I'm more good with that. How about this one? We're still in vain. No saying things are God that you have said are God with no spiritual or Bible-based backing. Stop with the opinions. It's in vain. Right? Here's another one. It says, in ways that impugn. How often do you use that in a daily sentence? In ways that impugn the character of God. Look at your person on the left. You say, I will not be overly sensitive right now. And then you look at the other person and say, good, me either. Okay, great. Thank you, guys. Appreciate it. In ways that impugn the character of God. Here's a dramatic Christian example occasionally at times. Look at me. I'm a Christian. Blah, 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 blah. And I know this, and blah, 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 and see my shirt, and blah, 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 and I have a sticker, and blah, 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 blah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I have an awesome group of people. It's like the best place ever to go, and blah, 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 blah. And we are awesome, and I have gifts, and blah, 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 and me, and what God's doing, and blah. But your character and how you live and your heart makes him look bad with all your blah, 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 blah. Say, we are the church, and we can certainly do better. Right. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold guiltless nor leave unpunished the one who takes his name in vain. Thank you, Jesus, for forgiveness. I'll tell you, cuss word was another language to me before Jesus. I couldn't communicate my feelings properly without cussing. How could I? I had no other way to express my extreme passion about some moment unless I could throw a deep cuss word into it. And then I came to Jesus, and I'm like, dang, that's got to change. It took me through stages. If you've never cussed at a pastor accidentally on the way out the door, hugging him, telling him what a great sermon he had, you don't know. Just saying. So this is what we learned. Him first. No other thing should get his adoration that's meant for him. And don't misuse his name. Wow, that right there is quite a life change. Just that. I mean, these guys were raised in Egypt. And they just came out of Egypt. You know? These commands are revolutionary. It says, check the time. Can you get one more in? The answer is yes, Pastor Sean. In the past, I can. Great. I know it's been a super fun episode, and you're loving every second of it. Say it's cool, Pastor. Don't sweat it. God can command me to do anything. Oh, wow. Just Pastor Sharon. That's all. Okay. Thank you, everyone. Exodus 28 through 11. You're going to feel good about this. Honestly, this will make you feel good. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy, set apart, dedicated to God. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy, set apart, dedicated to God. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath. Now Jesus said, the Sabbath's made for man, not man for the Sabbath. So I'm not looking for, God doesn't seem to be looking for a particular day in the New Testament church as much as there better be a day. Every day we should be adoring him and worshiping him and being the church. But there's a special day, a Sabbath, a day of rest dedicated to the Lord your God. On that day you shall not do any work. On that day you shall not do any work. You or your son or your daughter or your male servant or your female servant, your employees. Or your livestock, the things that provide substance for you, gets a rest. Or the temporary resident who stays within your walls of the city gates. For in the 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth and the sea and everything that is in them, and he rested. He ceased on the seventh day. That is why the Lord blessed the seventh day and made it holy, that is set apart for his purpose. So what have we learned? God wants our adoration and our single focus. And that's hard all by itself, isn't it? Man, merchandise, things, problems, issues, people, cats, dogs, neighbors, television, apps, phones. Man, stuff is always trying to get our attention, right? His desire, the second thing we learned, is to bless us beyond just our being freed and liberated. It's more than just your out of sin jail card. There's a promised land waiting for some of us. And yeah, there's some things we got to get through. But this is the season we get through them. Why? Because he said we can. Actually, he's rooting for us. And he said, if you'll just obey me and keep me first, I promise I'll get you there. Haven't I already done that 1,000 times? But we forget, right? So he said, I'm going to write these ones down. Moses, write these down. Why? Because you're prone to forget, you know? God gives us life-giving commands, and our opinions of these commands really doesn't matter. So why? Why doesn't it matter our opinions? Because they're his commands. He's God. And sometimes we want to wrestle with that because there are things like, no, that makes no sense. God, that's crazy. Other stuff makes a lot of sense. Like, yeah, absolutely. You had to put that in there? Idiot Israelites. I don't know. We were supposed to have communion, but we decided we're running so low on staff and things today. I wanted to give you guys a little bit of a break. But as I try to serve tough things in a way that you can eat it, in the way that I can eat it, because I got to change. I got to change, not because I got to look holy. It's not about how they looked. It's about impugning his character. And I want to look more like him. And sometimes when I'm squeezed, I might not cuss anymore, but I'm thinking about, man, I should take my watch off and pop that guy in his head. Just me and Mark. Mark's going, yeah, Pastor, I know that guy. I wanted to pop him in the head too, but Wendy's sitting here, so we can't talk about it. There are things he's working out of me, and there's things he's working into me. And the key of that is him making him first and really trusting his commands are good for us. And they're taking us someplace, right? Because we're the church. So I know there's pizza planned and there's stuff going on that I've been told 40 times and I don't remember. So it's about to happen. Danette, is it good? Everything's good? She's like, everything's good, Pastor. So if you'd like to stand, I'd like to pray for the church. And then you guys go be the church. You go be pizza lovers and huggers and fist bumpers and talkers and encouragers and prayer warriors. And because you're the best worship team we've had yet. The best worship team we had yet. So I'm so proud to be here with you all. And I'm so thankful that you made a decision for Jesus. And if you never have, you're like, man, I've never been forgiven. I mean, I've done some stuff. And most of us done some stuff. And God forgave us for our stuff. And I wouldn't have. Not in a million years. But he did. So if you got stuff you're hanging on to and you haven't let go of, let it go today and ask Jesus to come into your life and make changes and tell him you're going to follow him no matter the cost. So if you're making that prayer today in your heart, please catch up with Pastor Justin after service. He'd be glad to talk to you. Okay. Father, I pray for the church that is here and the church that is coming. And those of us that haven't recognized we are the church. Father, I pray for us this season that things that are hard, we would tackle them and you'd make them easier than we thought. Father, you would do some stage moving in our life and you do some bam moments for us. Lord, we're recommitting ourselves this season to make you first, to adore you first, and to do what you say first. Because we're your church and we want to be the best example of you we can. We don't want to impugn your name. We want people to somehow bite into us and taste Jesus. Thank you for New Season Christian Fellowship, Lord. I pray your anointing go upon them, be within them, and go before them. In Jesus' name, amen.